Okay, Megbu. We are continuing chapter one of our new book, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And if you remember, we were they were talking, Voldemort and Wormtail, and Frank was listening. Frank the gardener. Out in the corridor, Frank suddenly became aware of a hand gripping his walking stick was slippery with sweat. This man with a cold voice had killed a woman. He was talking about it without any kind of remorse, with amusement. He was dangerous, a madman. And he was planning more murders. This boy, Harry Potter, whoever he was in danger. Frank knew what he must do. Now, if ever, was the time to go to the police. He would creep out of the house and head straight for the telephone box in the village. But the cold voice was speaking again, and Frank remained where he was, frozen to the spot, listening with all his might. "One more murder, my faithful servant at Hogwarts. Harry Potter is as good as mine, Wormtail. It is decided. There will be no more argument. But quiet, I think I hear Nagini." And the second man's voice changed. He started making noises such as Frank had never heard before. He was hissing and spitting without drawing breath. Frank thought he might be having some kind of fit or seizure. And then Frank heard movement behind him in the dark passageway. He turned to look and found himself paralyzed with fright. Something was slithering toward him along the dark corridor floor. As it drew nearer to the sliver of firelight, he realized with a thrill of terror that it was a gigantic snake, at least 12 feet long. Horrified, transfixed, Frank stared at its undulating body cut a wide, curving track through the thick dust on the floor, coming closer and closer. What was he to do? The only means of escape was into the room where two men sat plotting murder. Yet if he stayed where he was, the snake surely would kill him. But before he had made his decision, the snake was level with him, and then, incredibly, miraculously, it was passing. It was following the spitting, hissing noises made by the cold voice beyond the door, and in seconds the tip of the diamond-patterned tail had vanished through the gap. There was sweat on Frank's forehead now, and the hand on his walking stick was trembling. Inside the room, the cold voice continued to hiss, and Frank was visited by a strange idea, an impossible idea. This man could talk to snakes. Frank didn't understand what was going on. He wanted more than anything to be back in his bed with his hot water bottle. The problem was that his legs didn't want to move. As he stood there shaking and trying to master himself, the cold voice switched abruptly to English again. "Nagini has interesting news, Wormtail," it said.
"Indeed, my lord," said Wormtail.
"Indeed, yes," said the voice. "According to Nagini, there's an old muggle standing right outside this room listening to every word we say." Frank didn't have a chance to hide himself. There were footsteps, and then the door of the room was flung wide open. A short, balding man with graying hair, a pointed nose, and small, watery eyes stood before Frank, a mixture of fear and alarm in his face.
"Invite him inside, Wormtail. Where are your manners?"
The cold voice was coming from the ancient armchair before the fire, but Frank couldn't see the speaker. The snake, on the other hand, was curled up on the rotting hearth rug like some horrible travesty of a pet dog. Wormtail beckoned Frank into the room. Though still deeply shaken, Frank took a firmer grip on his walking stick and limped over the threshold. The fire was the only source of light in the room. It cast long, spidery shadows upon the walls. Frank stared back at the armchair. The man inside it seemed to be even smaller than the servant, for Frank couldn't even see the back of his head.
"You heard everything, Muggle," said the cold voice.
"What's that you're calling me?" said Frank defiantly, for now that he was inside the room, now that the time had come for some sort of action, he felt braver. It had always been so in the war.
I'm calling you a muggle," said the voice coolly. "It means that you are not a wizard."
I don't know what you mean by wizard, said Frank, his voice growing steadier. All I know is I've done enough to interest the police tonight, I have. You've done murder and you've done planning more. And I'll tell you this too, he added, on a sudden inspiration. My wife knows I'm up here, and if I don't come back... You have no wife, said the cold voice, very quietly. Nobody knows you are here. You told nobody that you were coming. Do not lie to Lord Voldemort, Muggle, for he knows. He always knows. Is that right? Said Frank roughly. Lord, is it? Well, I don't think much of your manners, my lord. Turn around and face me like a man, why don't you? But I'm not a man, Muggle, said the cold voice, barely audible now over the crackling of the flames. I am much more than a man. However, why not? I will face you. Wormtail, come turn my chair around. The servant gave a whimper. You heard me, Wormtail. Slowly, with his face screwed up, as though he would have rather done anything than approach his master and the hearth rug where the snake lay, the small man walked forward and began to turn the chair. The snake lifted its ugly, triangular head and hissed slightly as the legs of the chair snagged on its rug. And then the chair was facing Frank, and he saw what was sitting in it. His walking stick fell to the floor with a clatter. He opened his mouth and let out a scream. He was screaming so loudly that he never heard the words the thing in the chair spoke as it raised a wand. There was a flash of light, a rushing sound, and Frank Bryce crumpled. He was dead before he hit the floor. And 200 miles away, the boy called Harry Potter woke with a start. And that's the end of chapter 1. And tomorrow we'll read chapter 2 called The Scar. You like that, my boo? Did you already fall asleep? I love you so much, kitty. You're the sweetest girl in the world. Sleep well. Good night.